He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, Saturday weekend version. It is the weekly wrap, Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite, who has, I'm sure, will have a lot to say about this latest jobs report that we got today.
And yeah, pretty interesting one.
Yes, it very much. It's been a crazy week to start a new year, Barry, and I've got a lot. We've got a lot to talk about here on today's show. We've had quite the sell-off in some areas of the market. In particular, we've seen a big sell-off in that real, real high-tech area of the market. We've seen, I think, the big surprise so far this year, we've seen interest rates go up by 22 basis points. 22 basis points. I don't think we were expecting that to begin a new year, but you know what? That big hike in interest rates was done by the market. It wasn't done by the Fed. It was done by the market. And that certainly has had a big impact and a big influence on how the markets have opened here in 2022. It seems that the time frame for the first rate hike by the Fed could be as early as March, though we'll have to see after today's very weak jobs report. You know, that's like the third or fourth very weak jobs report in a row. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's really not a good combination to have a weakening economy not really creating jobs and a Fed moving in an aggressive manner. That can be a recipe for stagflation, which we'll also talk about. We've got oil reclaiming $80 per barrel. Boy, there's a lot going on in the market right now. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I start my 22nd year in the business as a professional money manager, so I might have a little bit of sage wisdom to share with you here as we begin a new year. And it's certainly off to a very, I would say a rocky start to the year, depending on where you're invested. And Barry Kite also has a number of years in the business as a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. And I pretty much lean on you, Barry, for the financial or the economic reports that we're getting. We get those on a monthly basis. You know, last week's newsletter showed that we're still in a 12-year bull market. And if you don't believe me, you can just look at a chart of the S&P 500 from 2009 to 2021. That's 12 years. That's the longest bull market in history. The previous longest bull market was back in the year 1990 through 2001. That one didn't end well. It ended with the dot-com bubble collapse. And Barry, I've been saying for the last, well, probably a year and a half, that the biggest bubble today in our market has been the and continues to be the electric vehicle sector. And I've also put the cryptocurrency sector into that bubblicious territory. And, you know, I've also been warning for well over a year on the frontier stocks out there on the edge of the NASDAQ that we would call long duration stocks. In other words, it's going to take a long time before they're profitable, and those stocks have just continued to get taken to the cleaners. Okay, well, let's begin with the reports from this past week. What was the, you think today's jobs report was the most important one that we saw this past week?
Yeah, I think so. And it's really interesting because it's a mixed bag, right? I mean, you had most estimates coming in around 400,000, right? And,
yes.
The number we got was 199,000. So a very large miss. In terms of, expectations and what happened. This report's going to have a little bit of Omicron built into it. But at the same time, you had, so it was a big miss there. But at the same time, on the unemployment rate side, you had unemployment rate, tick below 4%. It's at 3.9, which expected was around 4.1. So, we're weighing this fact of, we've got, of course, had less jobs than expected, but at the same time, we've got unemployment rate down, approaching, close to full employment, which is, one of the specific mandates for the Fed. So you can, I think the market really didn't know how to react earlier. I think, as you mentioned, once the report came out, I think the markets took a nosedive, and then, they went up a bit, and now, roughly a flat, tiny bit down today. So that, one of the two mandates for the Fed, full employment and then keeping inflation, around a reasonable rate, was in that 2-3% range, prior to COVID. And they're, they've hit one mandate, which would kind of tell you, take the foot off the gas of quantitative easing, right? Start adding back, interest rates in terms of increasing those rates. Still, and part of it's also to deal with the inflation. So, it kind of keeps the Fed mandate as is, right? I mean, it could potentially mean a rate hike in March. And that's kind of, those are the kind of the mixed bag of this report that the market's kind of weighing, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to look at the participation rate too. There's a lot of people that could be working.
Yeah, and it remained unchanged at 61.9%. And that was a big thing coming out of 08-09, right, was, it took that participation rate a bit, a little while to begin to tick back up again. I mean, participation rate, more and more folks have been participating in the workforce, and most of that demographically were, women were entering the workforce at a higher rate, say between, late 70s, right, all the way up until, really up until 08-09, and then you saw kind of a participation rate dip back down, came back a bit, and then, has certainly waned since COVID. But it's that's probably the oddest number in terms of where you look. You got to compare that with that 3.9%.
Absolutely,
because unemployment only includes those that want to work. By the way,
exactly. And there's obviously a lot of people out there right now for whatever reason aren't working, don't want to work, and there's certainly jobs available on every corner of America. Just about okay. Now the other big story of this past week was not anything done by the Fed, but the brutal selling of the bond market that drove interest rates up 22 basis points on the 10-year. We started the year at 1.51. We're now at 1.73. And, of course, that has a big impact on the high PE, high price to sales, high beta, long duration stocks that are looking way off into the future for potential sales and earnings. And that area of the market just continues to get clobbered. And I mean, just using ARC funds as the proxy for that slice of the market, the long duration, she's down another 10% this year after being down 20% last year. And those stocks just continue to get whacked. This, I said in a tweet today, this is not your 2020 market, which was full of speculation, people at home buying Bitcoin and Bitcoin miners and all kinds of very speculative electric vehicle stocks and SPACs coming to market and GameStop and AMC Entertainment and all the rest. That all came to a screeching halt in February of last year when we had the first bump in interest rates, and then along came the Delta variant, and interest rates went back down. But now, you know, this Omicron has kind of come and seems to be going pretty quickly, and that has got people getting out of the bond market once again, selling bonds, and you have the Fed shrinking their balance sheet by, you know, not buying as many bonds as they used to. And this has put some big pressure on the bond market and on interest rates, which have now risen by 22 basis points. So this certainly has a lot to do with how you should handle 2022, which is going to be a much different year from 2021 and a very much different year from 2020. And we've seen oil reclaim $80 per barrel. You know, even though President Biden tried to get prices down by releasing oil from the strategic reserves, well, that didn't last very long. And now that the Omicron thing seems to have come and it seems to be going very quickly, that's increasing demand for oil. And on top of that, you've got rioting in Kazakhstan, where we have 40% of the uranium in the world and big oil reserves. So, Barry, how do you handle this market this year? Hey, start with getting our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. We'll... Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I have been writing a stock market newsletter. I'm a professional money manager. We we're fee-based money managers. We run about 6 to 8 portfolios here at our firm, Gunderson Capital Management. Everything from a very conservative income-oriented portfolio to a dividend and growth portfolio to large cap growth to ultra growth, and we publish those portfolios every single week, what's in them, what changes we've made, how we've done, and that newsletter goes only to my clients. We have clients all over America through our radio show and 22 years of doing the show and being a professional money manager. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, you can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. That's Gunderson Capital, S-O-N, GundersonCapital.com. And I also have a lot of people that follow me that are do-it-yourselfers. And I have they get the newsletter. I have a subscription model where people get the newsletter and any changes I make in the portfolios during the week. And several comments from me throughout the day on as to what I'm seeing in the market every day. I'm deep in the market every day for about 8, 9, 10 hours. And, that's how you're going to see things in the market. You're not going to see them looking at the headlines of how the Dow is doing. It's underneath the surface that is so important. We've been right about the market in our newsletter for the last 12 years. We've been bulls on the market. And the market has gone up for the last 12 years because earnings have gone up for the last 12 years of those S&P 500 companies. Eventually, it will come to an end, and we'll have another recession, and we'll have another earnings recession, and we'll have another bear market or at least a big, big correction. And I do believe in a little bit of market timing from time to time. The market and the economy are cyclical, and you don't want to be on the wrong side of the cycles. Now, we put out our macro outlook in the newsletter every single week, okay? If you've gotten our newsletter for the last 12 years, you should have made a pile of money because the S&P has gone from 660 to 4,700, 4,800 almost. That's a lot of gains. The Dow has gone from 6,900 to almost 37,000 during that period of time. So just getting the newsletter and just following our macro outlook, whether you have a 401k at work or an IRA or a Roth IRA, you've gotten some pretty good guidance over the last 12 years from the Gunderson newsletter. Well, again, we offer out 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Now, for me, Barry, the elephant in the room so far this year, I just looked at interest rates. They're up 3 basis points again today. That's 25 basis points. The interest rates have gone up 0.25% since we started the new trading year on Monday. 0.25%, Barry. Now, what areas of the market does that not favor, and what areas of the market does it favor?
Yeah, and that's about a, you know, relatively, it's about a 15% change since the start of the year, and a quick change.
Quick.
And with that, you know, and that reprices, essentially it reprices future earnings, right? So if you... You know, number one, if you have a company who's, you know, say a Procter Gamble, right, or you know, somebody who's earning money on a you know, quarter to quarter basis, right, they're not going to be quite as affected from that interest rate change. But you got a company whose, you know, earnings are 4 years down the road.
Canoe. Well, let's take Canoe, right?
Right. Or, and so
Rivian.
Most of your EV. Yeah, take most of your EV names, right? You know, a lot of that is, you know, it's a future market, right, in terms of future earnings. And so the farther off those earnings are, the more that price is going to be affected, because you've got to take those earnings, discount them back to today's dollars, and then that's what your, you know, your overall value when we're doing fundamental valuation. And in the denominator is interest rates. So as you discount, divide those back from, you know, the further out you are, the more division you're doing, and so the lower those future cash flows are going to be worth. And that's what's really happening out there.
Yeah, and we have seen a massive sell-off again this week in the electric vehicle sector, the Rivians of the world and the Lucid Motors, et cetera. And then, of course, any other stock like that, doesn't matter what sector it's from, whether it's a lithium stock, whether it's a Bitcoin miner, if you don't have any earnings and you're not a profitable company and you're hoping to be profitable someday, a rising interest rate environment is a terrible investing environment for those kinds of stocks. And they are just getting wasted, and they continue to get wasted. But a lot of people don't understand that relationship, and they keep trying to do what they have been doing in the past and wondering why it's not working. It's not working because the environment of the market has kind of turned upside down from this very accommodative Fed to one that's all of a sudden getting pretty aggressive and trying to get inflation under control before it gets out of control. Now, having said that, the financials are exploding to the upside. They benefit from rising interest rates. I would also say that the commodity stocks, particularly the oil stocks, that's the number one sector in the market so far in 2022. So if I were to give any advice to investors out there from my 22 years in the business, every year is different. You can't do the same thing that made you money 2 years ago this year. And you have to learn to kind of go with the flow as market conditions change. And that's why I'm a big believer not in the passive investing model. I prefer to be more active. And we're seeing a vicious rotation in the market right now that really started last February and is really picking up steam again. And I don't think there's a better proxy for that vicious rotation of where not to be than, you know, Cathie Wood's ARK funds that are just getting slaughtered. And she continues to do, you know, what she did in 22. But then again, I mean, she runs a transformational fund. So her hands are kind of tied to keep buying transformational stocks. We are unconstrained. We can go anywhere we want in the market. We're not tied to technology. She can't exactly buy an Exxon Mobil or a Devon Energy or some of these other stocks that are just blooming and blossoming right now. She's kind of has to stick to, you know, whatever the criteria that her fund calls out. So, you know, that's another advantage I feel that we have, is being unconstrained and being able to move, when the market moves. And there's a massive rotation taking place in the market right now. And you're seeing it many days with the NASDAQ down, where you see more of those high PE, longer duration stocks that are getting hit by interest rates rising. And it's favoring, here's another big factor to look for, low PE. I'm talking, you know, Western Digital, Micron, they trade in the 12 or 13 PE area. When these other stocks, the Teladocs of the world and the Zoom Info and stocks like that, they're way out there on the P.E. scale. You don't want to be out there. You want to be in that low-teen P.E. scale in a rising interest rate environment. I hope that helps you. But I build a lot more on these themes in the newsletter that I'm working on right now. We'll go out on Saturday. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, which we do Monday through Friday. We do this show live at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can listen to the show live on any of the TuneIn or the web podcast sites. You can listen on our website, GundersonCapital.com. And then we archive every show daily, so you can listen to it at your leisure on, iTunes or iTunes or TuneIn Radio or our website, GundersonCapital.com. I mean, we try to hit the market hard every day. We put several few hours of research every morning into the show before we do it. And then, of course, we manage money the rest of the day. So you're getting it pretty much straight from the horse's mouth of what we're seeing in the market. And we're not just focused on a little area of the market. We're watching the entire market. And it's what a beginning to a new year it has been. This is not your 2020 market. And even the beginning of last year started pretty much where 2020 ended, with the long-duration stocks leading the way and the place to be. But we had a big interest rate spike in February of last year that really spooked the high P.E. stocks. And, the ARK funds never recovered from that. They ended the year down over 20%, while the S&P was up 26%. So they trailed the S&P by 45 points last year, and off to a terrible start this year, because the dynamic at work here is you cannot own those kinds of stocks in a rising interest rate environment. You know, any fisherman knows that you've got to fish an ingoing tide altogether different from an outgoing tide. And right now this is an incoming tide on interest rates that we haven't seen for quite some time, and that creates a big change. But before we get to that, I want to step back for a moment and look at the big picture, Barry. In 2009, the S&P 500 companies earned $53 per share. We just completed the fiscal year 2021, and those earnings are going to come in around $206 per share for the S&P 500. You've seen earnings go from $53 per share to $207 per share since 2009. And those earnings went up every single year except for the COVID year of 2020, which was an extraordinary event. And, as stock market analyst, we look past extraordinary events. And this will be a record year when we start earnings season here next week. And by the time this earnings season, which is the fourth quarter of last year, is all in the books, we will have seen record earnings once again for the S&P 500. And guess what else we saw? A record high for the S&P 500. In fact, as early as Tuesday, I want to say, Barry, we saw an all-time high for the Dow and the S&P 500. And the reason that that happened is because earnings have continued to grow since 2009. And as we sit here right now, we're looking for record earnings again in 2022. But there's risk to those earnings. What are some of the risks? What's the wall of worry that we've got to climb? The consensus target price for the S&P this year is 5,100. As I look at, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and all the rest of them, What are some of the risks that could keep us from getting to 5,100 or even turning the corner and starting us towards a bear market, Barry?
Well, certainly, I think you know, short of geopolitical risks, which continue, you know, they're always present, but they're certainly seem to be heating up. But, you know, the main thing is inflation, right? How much are costs for companies, especially companies that make goods, wage inflation, right? How much of that will they be able to pass on to us as consumers, right? Because that's gonna really cut into
earnings,
right? So it's either they're gonna charge more and be able to pass those prices on to us and still make earnings, or they're gonna have to or they're gonna take a hit from an earnings perspective. I mean, you could also see the fact that borrowing costs, right? As borrowing costs go up, in terms of interest rates rising, that can also hurt earnings going forward, just because they have higher interest costs, those types of things, which will translate into lower bottom line earnings.
I would argue right now that we are in a bear market in a lot of areas of the market. You get outside of the S&P 500 and outside of the NASDAQ 100 and out there on the frontier a little bit. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, you've got Teladoc down 60% from its highs, Coinbase, Robinhood, all those stocks that were so hot in 2020, Zoom Info, Peloton, I mean, the list goes on and on. Those stocks are down anywhere from 50 to 60% right now. That is definitely a bear market in that area of the market. Now, let's go to the S&P 500. It hit a new high on Tuesday, so we can't say that the S&P is in a bear market, but the S&P is made up of a lot of sectors in the market, and there's going to be some sectors within the S&P 500 that are going to underperform vastly the top performing sectors in the S&P 500, and much of that, in my book, will be dictated by a rising interest rate environment. We're already seeing the bank stocks, for instance. They're the number one recipients. I mean, they are right on the front line. When interest rates start going up, the banks start going up. And, you know, the banking sector has not really had a good year for many years. But, boy, I'll tell you right now, they're poised to have a really good year. They're out of the gate very, very quickly in 2022. I know that's boring. I know that's not, digital coin mining, and I know that's not autonomous cars and whatnot, but you got to take what the market gives from year to year. Another area that benefits from rising interest rates and this inflation that you mentioned, Barry, are mining, copper, iron ore, steel stocks, energy stocks. Energy is a big part of the inflation picture, and energy prices are soaring around the world. You know, Europe's natural gas prices are up 900% versus this time last year. Liquid natural gas. I mean, we own a stock. What's our liquid natural gas
LNG?
Stock that we own? LNG, which is doing very, very well. We own a natural gas stock this year, Devon Energy. Now, we didn't own any in 2020, but as the world turns, the market turns also, and the interest rate and inflation environment have a major impact on the markets. And if you just keep trying to do the same thing that you were doing and wondering why it's not working, that's because you may have the wind in your face now as opposed to the wind at your back. So, you know, we're still bullish. There's still money to be made in the market in 2022, and I believe even into next year. I think the S&P 500 is going to – it hit a new high on Tuesday. I think you're going to see new highs, but it's going to be like 20% of the S&P 500 – that brings about most of those gains, and you have to be in those right sectors in the S&P 500 to basic materials, banks, financials, and I know you don't want to hear that. It's not a lot of fun investing in steel, in iron ore pellets, etc. But that's what this market. Okay, and one other thing I would say here, you do not want to be in a bond fund. You do not want to have a lot of exposure to bond funds. Now, that's different from owning an individual bond, which you're going to hold the maturity and get your principal back when that bond matures, as long as you've, you know, bought bonds in high-quality companies. But a bond fund is at the mercy, totally at the mercy, on the front line of interest rates. When you see interest rates go up, for instance, I think on Tuesday of this past week, interest rates went up 15 basis points in one day. You could see an immediate sell-off in the bond market, in bond funds, and you could see an immediate jump in the bank stocks, okay, which many of them pay dividends. So if you're looking for income, you know, in 2022, bond funds I don't think are going to be a good place to be at all, because they react in an inverse way to rising interest rates, which seems to be a movement that is now underway in the market, and you've got to adjust your portfolios accordingly. And I would say one last thing. I would not invest anywhere except the U.S. right now. China is getting crushed. They're doing it to themselves. Latin America's not going well. Maybe some of the countries that are rich in oil and natural resources. But we outline all of this in the newsletter every week, where to be invested and where not to be invested in 2022. Get 2 free weeks of our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we take a look at what's occurred so far in this new year of the market. And, you know, most people, if you've got a job, you've probably got some exposure to the stock market through 401k, or maybe you're putting money away into your IRA or your Roths, college funds, etc. So it's kind of important, you know, to be a good steward over whatever amount of money you have in the markets. And, you know, there's, like the song says, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. There's a lot of different approaches to the market. And, you know, obviously the lowest threshold is just putting money into a Vanguard All World Fund or a Vanguard Total Stock Fund. And you basically own, you know, every stock. You probably own 3,000 to 5,000 different stocks. But, you know, myself as a professional money manager over the last 22 years, I spent, you know, a couple years as a stock analyst looking for superior stocks in the market. You know, there's look at how technology has changed. At one time, AT&T and IBM were dominant stocks. But now it's a whole new world out there. Look what Apple has done to both of those companies, really. And other companies like that have just come along and just stopped any growth whatsoever at those big old giants of yesteryear. So, you know, I believe in a little bit more active management. I prefer to put together portfolios made up of individual stocks, which is like a mutual fund. That's what we do for a living. I mean, Barry is the certified financial planner. That's usually who folks talk to first, is him, to kind of get, he needs an idea of, you know, where you're at in life, how much money you're putting away, how many years until retirement, what your risk tolerance is, where your current investments are at, all kinds of questions like that before we can start to put together a plan for you. A second big thing, I was a front row witness to the crash of the NASDAQ in the year 2000 and 2001. I saw the dot-com bubble building. I knew it was not going to end well. It did not end well. And many people kept doing what they had been doing through the late 90s and early 2000, and just kept piling money into those NASDAQ and dot-com stocks. And when that thing finally burst, it brought the NASDAQ down some 80%. So, you know, I've learned over the years that valuations have to be looked at very carefully. You're seeing that right now more so than we've seen in many, many years, because with rising interest rates, it's kind of like low tide, Barry. It exposes all of the crevasses and all of the obstacles, you know, down in the muck of the mud and the goo. And that's what you're seeing right now. All of these stocks that are not on firm ground, they're on shaky ground. They've got the money from the investors through the IPO. Now they've got to become a profitable company and grow those profits. Can they do it? You know, not many dot-com survived from the year 2000. You know, Amazon, Apple, those were some, Microsoft were some of the survivors, but many of them never came back from that drubbing.
And it was a bumpy ride. It was a bumpy ride for the likes of Amazon.
Yeah, Tesla, you know, the ups and downs. Okay, then along came 08 and 09, and that was all about another bubble in the single-family home and mortgage market. That nearly brought the financial markets to its knees. That took the S&P 500 down 53%. And, you know, we could all see that. Maybe all of us couldn't see that. I could see it coming. There was no way that those mortgage, how they were packaging them and putting a AAA grade on them and selling them to some city in Norway or something like that. You just knew it was going to implode, and it did. And the earnings, the thing is, it spread to the entire global economy. And we saw the earnings of the S&P 500 go down to $53 per share from about $75 the previous year. And in 07, they went down from 06, and that was kind of a warning shot across the bow, and that's what I'm looking for now. I'm especially keyed into the earnings forecast for the S&P 500. I look at the consensus numbers every week. I do my own numbers. And I put my neck on the line and publish my macro outlook every single week in the Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter. Been right for 12 years, dead on the market. And we even, during COVID, at the bottom of COVID, at the worst possible, you know, when things looked the gloomiest, we said to go all in with whatever you had in March of 2020. And we were right on. We missed the bottom by about 4 days. Now, at some point in the future, I'm going to see trouble. We're going to see trouble, whether it's caused by inflation, whether it's caused by geopolitics, whether it's caused by natural disasters or rumors of wars, or the Fed. Something's going to cause it, and we'll have another recession. And you don't want to own equities or stocks during a recession. That's a pretty simple concept there. That's why we've always got to be looking into the future. While most investors are looking at today, tomorrow, yesterday, the market's looking a couple years ahead, and that's what we have to do as investors. What do we see a couple years ahead from now based on what we know right now? Well, that's in our macro outlook, along with the portfolios that we manage. Barry's lined up with appointments today. I'm managing portfolios. We've got a whole team here that is just buzzing right now as we begin a new year in the market. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, make a New Year's resolution in 2022 that you're going to be a good steward over whatever monies you know that you have invested, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. There's no obligation. It can't hurt. 855-611-BEST. We have a virtual nationwide office that I created many, many years ago. It was way ahead of the curve with this whole virtual office business. It makes me be able to manage money and meet with people from all over America, where I couldn't do that if I had you know, offices all over America and them all shut down because of COVID, right? We also produce the newsletter for do-it-yourselfers or for people that just want to take a quick look at what Gunderson Capital is all about. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. I'm just here to tell you, and Barry will back me up on this, this is a very unique year in the market. It's way different from the last 12 years. And if you're not on the right side of the market, it could be a very, very difficult year. Go to GundersonCapital.com. I'll send you out 2 free weeks of my newsletter. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.